So the good news of the love of God. And if your children, young children, teenage children, adult children ever ask you, your husband ever asks, why do we come to church? It's this. Where else are you going to get a reminder, your weekly reminder, of God's love? Because so many of us, it just stays as an intellectual idea. When push comes to shove, yeah, God loves me, but not really. So you need that reminder for that idea to be in not just in your mind, but in your heart, a reality. Three things from today's three readings. One, the choice of God. Two, your choice and response. And three, what do you do after? Like, what's next? What's next? First, the choice of God. Second, he invites you to make a choice. And third, well, what's next? Okay. So first, the choice of God. I love this. As I shared at the beginning, the continuation of the mystery of the Sacred Heart, that on Friday we just celebrated the Sacred Heart, praying for our country. And today we hear Jesus' heart was moved with pity because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. So I love that, because that means the witnesses who wrote these things down saw his, they couldn't see his heart. They don't have x-ray vision. And that means, like, the heart being moved is an inner dynamic. It's not the organ of the heart. But it means they saw on his face. He saw the people. And he was moved. And I believe that's why people are so drawn to visual representations, which, by the way, didn't start with the Chosen, but people love it, and that's a good thing. But, we're drawn to visual representations. That's why many of you have an image of the Sacred Heart in your homes. His heart was moved with pity for them. It's the same thing. We've had these representations for hundreds of years. But all of this is to say, God's choice for you and your suffering, right? And I just say, if you've ever felt like, it says here, they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. If you've ever felt that way in your life at any time, this Bible verse is for you. Troubled, abandoned, like a sheep among wolves. This Bible verse is for you. His heart was moved with pity for them. That's the message Paul shares with the Romans. God's choice. He chooses first. Christ, while we were helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. That is when we were at our worst. He loved the most. When we were at our worst, actively rejecting, wanting to kill him. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. We need to remember, he chooses first. God, Paul writes, God proves his love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Reminds me, you ask a child how much you like ice cream, and they'll say this much, right? The crucifix is God's response to our demand. Prove it. You love me? Prove it. God proves his love. Now, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. We ask God how much you love us. Jesus said this much on the cross, and he died. He proves his love. Okay? So it's God's choice. But, second point, your choice. Love invites a response. Love invites a response. First reading. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians, how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people. If you hearken, if you listen to my voice and keep my covenants, you'll receive this love in a new way. But again, it's God's choice inviting your response. He won't force. He doesn't force you to come to Sunday Mass. He invites you. He doesn't force you to pray. He invites you. He doesn't force a relationship on you. That's not love. He invites you to respond. But it's your choice. Your choice. You can say no. You can say no. Okay, now, the invitation is yes. Hope and pray, yes. Okay, what's next? What's next? I did a baby Bible study in preparation for this homily. How many times in the gospel has that phrase happened? His heart was moved with pity. From what I can find, 4 times Jesus' heart is moved with pity. 4 times that they saw this. 4 times. And there's some overlap. But there are 4 times recorded. And there are 4 different actions to each of those events. Okay, one of them, Jesus teaches in Mark chapter 6. His heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So teaching as a response to his compassion for our lost condition. Second, he cures the sick. Matthew chapter 14. When he disembarked, he saw the vast crowd. His heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. Healing. God healing as a response to that pity and compassion. Third, Mark chapter 8. He feeds them. Jesus says to the disciples, "My heart is moved with pity, because they have been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat." And then he multiplies bread to feed the 4,000. So teaching, healing, feeding. And then today's gospel, Matthew chapter 9. What does Jesus do? His heart is moved with pity for them. He sends out the disciples and he names the apostles. Moses in the first reading says, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." He sees us as sheep, and he raises us up. He raises us up to a higher calling, not just to be, "Oh, poor little sheep. Oh, I'm such a poor little sheep." No. A holy nation, a kingdom of priests. And he sends out the disciples and the apostles. So that means the missionary movement of the church is a response to the Lord's pity and compassion, his mercy for his people. The missionary movement, that is the church going out, the church inviting, the church loving others, the church serving the poor, the church sharing the good news of the gospel, is the Lord's compassion for his people. Okay, so that's why we're talking about things like Alpha. We have this sign up going on right now, Alpha, starting July 9th. This is, I believe, an effective mode of the Lord's pity and compassion for his people. Alpha, as I've shared before, it's a very simple program. It's something you like, something you've done before, except at the root of it is a spirit of welcoming, I believe, that I have not seen in any other program or Bible study. Because yes, Bible studies, we teach, and that's a good thing. Okay? And other gatherings, we feed, that's a good thing. But Alpha is unique in that it's intent on welcoming from beginning to end. And at the table, we're not there to teach. We're not there to preach. We're there to listen. And to someone who comes and says, "You know what? I don't believe in God." The response is, "You know what? So glad that you're here. Thanks for coming. That's And thanks for sharing that. Like, focus on the person, not on, like, an intellectual thing that I need to fix right now. Just focus on the person. Focus on the purpose. Focus on the person. So what Alpha is, I've shared before, a meal, a video, asking the big questions around God and faith. And then a conversation, again, that is focused entirely on welcoming. Your table guides, we train them to just that spirit of welcoming, right? So we want our parishioners to invite those who aren't coming to church. We want our parishioners to invite those who feel too ashamed to come back to church. We want to invite those who feel, I'm not a church person. Okay. Well, hey, why don't you come have a meal? Look, Father keeps bugging me. He says I need to invite someone. Can you help me out and get Father off my back? I don't know. You know how to invite people. But that's why we're promoting this. For parishioners who come to church every Sunday to find someone and say, hey, join me. Let's check it out. Just come for one night. And our experience is that everyone who comes, the vast majority who come for another night. And those who don't, it's typically some other reason like illness or something else. Okay? That's why we're promoting Alpha so much. And we're signing up at the end of Mass. I'm going to remind you, signing up for Alpha. Okay. So of those three things, which do you need to pray with? Perhaps you need to pray with, like, do you know His choice for you? Do you know His choice for you? And, you know, I was sharing this last night at the Mass, just, do we know our own story? Do we know the story of those who love, we love, right? Like, have you asked, hey, when did this faith thing become real for you? I share that because I had an event this week where I heard a brother priest's story of how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm like, man, we've been in the Baton Rouge Vineyard for 20 years, and I never knew how you came to know Jesus Christ. It was beautiful. So I think it's a beautiful thing to know each other's story, to know your own choice story. Do you know God's choice? Have you said yes? And if not, why not? Why are you? What's the fear? What's the holdup? And if you have confidence in those two, how is He inviting you to be His compassion in the world? How is He inviting you to be His mercy in the world? How is He sending you, O kingdom of priests, not to remain a sheep, not to remain powerless and impotent, but raising you up in His kingdom as priests? Let's pray that we may know His choice, that we may not be afraid to say yes, and that we may be just kingdom priests sharing the good news of the difference that God's love makes. Amen.